Kenzo Atsushi in Congo 3. I was in the city of Pointe Poire in the Congo. I had a vision. I saw Satan throwing an arrow like a black ball. This deadly arrow entered the mind of the wizard chief of the town of Kalemi. He died of a stroke. When God showed me, he had died 2 days ago. I saw him in hell in the vision, suffering a lot in the Valley of Sorcerers. In Pointe Noire was a man known and feared in this village. He is called Paul Malumba. He is the sorcerer of that region. Rumors spread in that place that he will become a werewolf. He has attacked several people and killed many. People showed me marks of teeth on the arm that was attacked by him. This region has a forest where it is beautiful to walk, but many are afraid of being attacked by this beast man. They said the local police tried to catch him, but they failed. He has a magic spell that makes him disappear from one place and appears in another. I met the policeman from that region. He is called Tiebe Upango. He said that the police do not have proof to arrest the sorcerer, because it is an attack of a wolf who attacks people, not of a man. Upango said that they were already in the house of the sorcerer with 4 policemen summoning him to appear in the police district and give his testimony. Upon arriving at the house of this sorcerer, he locked his doors and disappeared. When the police entered his house and searched everywhere, he was not there. Since that raid on the house of sorcerer Mulumba, many policemen began to die of diseases. Police Upango believes it was a curse thrown by this sorcerer on the police officers who raided his home. The police district, fearing more deaths, gave up interrogating him. Police officer Upango said he has a disease called lycanthropy, a form of madness involving the delusion of being an animal, usually a wolf, with correspondingly altered behavior, and has never seen him become a wolf. He said that people have already seen him turn and have changed homes for fear of dying. Upango said he does not believe he is a werewolf but fears his black magic. Hearing all this information, I was in doubt whether he believed it or not. For me, it was nothing more than a popular tale or myth, but an African sorcerer of high spiritual level may be true what they say. I am sure that this same sorcerer is one who disposes of hegemony in the country with the chief of sorcerers in the neighboring town Kalemi, where there is the village of that community that I have won for Jesus. I returned home to clear my doubts. I bowed my knees and prayed for 3 hours without stopping. The Lord showed me in the vision the sorcerer Mulumba. I saw a legion of demons enter inside his body. He was beginning to become unreasonable. The demons moved in his mind. His behavior seemed like a wild animal. In their possession, the demons altered his testosterone rate. Hair grew all over his body, chest, belly, arm, and face as a werewolf. His personality was changed, behaving just like an animal, as happened to King Nebuchadnezzar, who became irrational, behaving like a beast without bathing and cutting his hair and beard. Dan 4:32-33, "Then shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee eat grass as oxen, and 7 times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will." The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. Mark 5:1-5, "And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains, and in the tombs, crying, and cutting himself with stones. The Lord told me, 'This is the spirit of lycanthropy, my servant. This is not a disease. It is a diabolical transformation. The demons have enough energy to change matter and transform my creation.' In the vision, I saw Mulumba. He was bearded, full of hair on his chest and arm, but nothing like an equal werewolf in the movies, but a ferocious and irrational man who does not walk on all fours like an animal, but he looked like a monkey. In the vision, I saw this beast attacking an antelope and eating it. That was horrible. The next day I went to church. On the way back I passed by the road that had no one. I saw a bearded man following me. He avoided the light of illumination. When I went into the house, I looked out the window and I saw that man in the dark. He started to howl and he was on all fours. He was a man walking on all fours, not a dog, but a man with the spirit of a beast. His clothes were all torn and filthy. That werewolf looked at the house where I was staying. He was watching the house to see if I was going to leave. He was even more irrational. He behaved like a dog. It was the same as the vision that the Lord showed me. When he attacked the antelope and ate his flesh, I could see the strength of the legion that dwelt in that body. False Christians. The next morning, I saw the sorcerer Mulumba in the street and I approached him. I already knew who he was because of the vision, but he had no idea that I knew of his identity. He looked at me and said, "The Holy Spirit dwells in you, not all Christians have a light like you. Many Christians do not have the Holy Spirit. They do not know how important it is to have God in their lives. They do not live the gospel of their God and believe that they will overcome the powers of darkness from evil. They deceive themselves and believe that they are saved. I know everything that happens in the spiritual world. The evil spirits tell me of the Christians who walk in the truth. With these, we must be careful that they do not overcome us and win our souls. The evil spirits also speak of the false Christians who do not live what they preach, of whom we are not afraid. The demons have already asked for the souls of these false Christians. I have already killed several of these in black magic. I know the spiritual world. When I was raptured to hell, I saw the false shepherds whom I killed in magic. They were burned, mocked and ridiculed and clowned by the demons. My rapture came as the werewolf spirit entered my body. I ran out into the woods and fell, banging my head. When I realized I was in hellfire, I saw all the evil spirits there. I wanted to get out of that nightmare. In a matter of minutes, I was in a hospital bed. Someone saw me fall and rescued me. Thanks to this person who took me to the hospital, I was not stuck in that place. I know I belong to hell for all the evil I've done. I'm a demon in person. I do not feel sorry or compassion when I want to kill someone. I do not turn into a werewolf like those in the movie. I am a possessed man. Since I was a kid, I watched and was addicted to werewolf movies. I really liked the movies until I put it in my mind that I wanted to be a werewolf, and because of this I went into witchcraft and started letting my body hair, nails and beards grow. Of course, the ritual I did, a demon possessed my body and moved on the hormonal part, causing the hair to grow faster. My name is Kenzo. I'm a missionary. You tried to attack me near my residence. Mulumba replied, "I do not remember. When I am possessed, I become an irrational animal. I follow anyone by smell. The first time I underwent this transformation was in one night. I woke up in the middle of the bush with my mouth dirty with blood. I was cursed when I was a child. My mother was a sorceress. She delivered me to the demons while I was still in the womb. I killed her when I became that beast that I am. I suffered a lot from that. In the pact I made with the devil through the wizard who initiated me, in the blood contract it was written that I would be the devil's dog. I wanted to be the strongest sorcerer in the Congo. Turning into a dog was not in my plans. I said to Mulumba, "Leave this way and turn to God. He forgives your sins." Mulumba said, "I have made an everlasting covenant. I cannot go out of this way. I know the power of your God. I have a respect for all true Christians, you who serve your God without falsehood and live the gospel. We sorcerers have no power. Therefore, I will not fight against you. I acknowledge that your God is the creator of the world. The very demons whom I serve tremble with fear of your God. They told me. I know that Jesus is coming back and the demons I serve are worried about those who live in holiness and will rise. I recognize the authority that God gave you when you were in the other city preaching the gospel. The demons told me everything you were doing, and the loss of souls you caused in that place. The chief sorcerer of the city of Kalemi, who was my greatest rival, could not do anything. You disarmed all sorcerers and left them all defenseless as children on their mother's lap. Now you are in my territory. I know that my spells cannot reach you. I see a soldier dressed in the armor of the sky. Nothing passes and penetrates that garb of a soldier that is on you. Our war will be for souls. Who will win more souls in this region that I know more than you? The people here fear me. They know my power. Many will want to be like me and have the same powers I have. I become invisible, and I can disappear here and appear elsewhere. In a poor country, who do not want to have superpowers? That is my advantage to preach the gospel of darkness. Now for you to gain respect and show your authority, you must conquer this person who does not yet know you. They already know me. It's easier for me. You preach your gospel, I preach mine, and it's no use wanting to convince me. I already sold mine to the devil." When he said those words, he vanished from my sight. Death of sorcerer. I had a vision at night. I saw a demon entering Paul Mulumba's room and touching his flesh, and cancer invaded his organ. A few months after that vision, he died of cancer. Leslie and Henry arrived from the United States to assist me in the mission of Pointe Poire, Congo City. I, Leslie and Henry did our mission. The demons came into contention with me for souls on this mission. We won souls in this place. We did not need to earn their respect, as the sorcerer said. My Jesus earned the respect. We did not have to make signs to prove that I have authority. My Jesus healed them in their homes when they prayed. We did not have to conquer them by the fear of the sorcerer. We conquered with love. We did not need to gain their confidence. The word convinced and liberated their souls. My mission with the two warriors ended in the Congo. I passed all the revelations I had in hell to the churches here. It was a seed that I planted that will spread throughout this country. The Lord has revealed to me that this is my last experience and that same year the Lord will take me to glory. I told Henry and Leslie. They were very saddened by this new revelation. I told my son Robert, but he did not accept it. Sorcerers. The Lord showed me in the vision, more sorcerers perfecting themselves in their spiritual stairs, going up steps and getting stronger in that place. They are advancing in evil stages and obeying Satan's standards to grow, and Christians do not want to obey and think they are strong. While Christians do not want to pray and fast for their spiritual strengthening, sorcerers are locked in coffins within graveyards feeding on corpses, making great sacrifices for Satan. There is a difference between a non-obedient Christian who pays no price to be used and the Satan-obedient sorcerer given power. This is the difference between the rebellious Christian and the obedient sorcerer. When these two confront each other, the obedient sorcerer receives all the ammunition of hell and takes advantage of the Christian who will not pray and will not obey. Prayer brings spiritual coding, and when we do not pray, we break a commandment of Jesus that says, "Pray without ceasing." Cross. The Lord showed me His way. I saw thorns. I saw brothers walking over the thorns. They were about to give up, some were tired and with their feet pierced and crying, other people looking at the path did not even walk. They gave up the walk before trying. This group of people was going on a path where they were full of flowers and had no thorns. These people were happy. They walked, but they did not know what was waiting for them at the end of that road. I could see the size of the fire chasm that was in the front. I screamed for them not to take that path. There is a chasm in the end, no one listened to me. The Lord told me, they are spiritually deaf, they do not listen. These people are those who have heard my word. They have not given credit and continue following the path of doom and darkness. My path is difficult to walk. He who takes that path will walk to eternal life. At the end of that path, whoever gets there will enter my celestial kingdom and will be crowned. Churches. I saw in the vision the devil surrounding the churches to disorganize the lives spiritually. They studied the qualities of that church to break their communions with Jesus. These demons worked hard to diminish the vigor and strength of the prayer of those churches. Other groups of demons were taking the brothers from the holy denominations, making each follow other churches without commitment with Jesus. This group of demons was spreading these brothers so they would not congregate in the same place. They are spiritual brothers that together would bring a revival to that church. The demons caused confusion in many churches so that many would leave, and many men of God left as well, leaving that church over to the work of the weaker brethren, and so the demons would draw the strongest, leaving the weakest to work in that church. These demons entered into many churches, putting jealousy, misunderstanding, and arrogance. The demons laughed when they could get the most spiritual out of those churches. A church when it loses a valued worker is a victory for the demons. When they cannot overcome a united church, they first disorganize the body of Christ, placing divisions and then defeating the ministry. Many serious denominations were closing, because of tensions within the church. Pastors could not avoid conflict or solve problems. Unity and union were not established, and disagreements were not forgiven and forgotten. Jesus said, "The filth within the churches must be cleansed so that the demons do not work." The church has to withstand the impacts caused by the demons. If they forgive, gather and organize. A spiritually disorganized church is a reflection of the brothers' conflicts, caused by lack of vigilance. Jesus said, "My Holy Spirit does not dwell in strife. Do not let the devil break the bond of union that unites my people. When my servants come in contentions, they break the communion of my body, and their bonds with the Holy Spirit are broken." All this opens the way for the demons to work. The Lord Jesus told me that older Christians are throwing new converts out into the world saying words that hurt. The Lord told me that people are in the church being deceived by the sex, by the lack of knowledge. Our desire has to be to win souls. Soldiers of Christ. I seek to train the skills God has given me and be a versatile soldier, overcoming sin and testing through prayer. We are humble and know our faults, and we need to get closer to God so that He can control our lives. The price we have to pay is to renounce the world, not let the world influence our life. Sacrificing the flesh, rejecting the world. The Lord Jesus gives credit to those Christians who have detached themselves from the sinful system of this world. Our wealth is spiritual and is in Jesus. The more we value the things of this world, the more we will devalue spiritual and eternal things and make a pretense of the truth. The purpose of the doctrine is to equate union and love within the church. That brings spiritual qualities in which God requires. This doctrine eliminates sin and makes spiritual and church life grow. Organize your spiritual life, change the way you are, pray and pray for God to have a victorious life. Its action is to live a life practicing the scriptures and a life of insistence in the prayer. This is hard work that develops the gifts of God, alters your spiritual life, and makes you grow in grace. To create a new man or a new woman is necessary to destroy the old self. Leave the word, and heaven will be in your favor. Jesus is the basis of all success. He who practices his word is completing his work, not sacrificing his life for something worthless, sacrificing himself for Jesus, sacrificing the flesh to benefit the spirit. Many Christians are sacrificing the spirit to benefit the flesh. Be a soldier of God and be righteous on this earth. I never sold the gifts that God gave me. I never coveted anything. I do everything for free to Jesus and work of grace for the people. Every gift I received came trials. That prepared me to use these tools. When you ask for a gift, be prepared to take on that empowerment, for God is worth more than 100 trained Christians, one soldier who has the utmost trust in God. He will give you credit when you make a difference on earth. You will see the power of God work in your life. Soldiers arm themselves and go forward. Your potential is Christ and your ability is in Him. God multiplies your forces and your anointing, causing you to produce more and more for God's kingdom. Before that, they have to let go of the world, have to die to the flesh and be born of the Spirit. It is like the seed that dies on the earth, the first root begins to grow. What happens in the world is the reverse, dying in the Spirit and being born in the flesh, and the fruits of this result are sinful desires, depravities, and immorality. We must be different to win the world, not only to live for God but to make people walk in truth. Helping people to be true disciples. Teaching and making them new, efficient warriors. I will tell you the true characteristics of the soldiers who have the marks of Christ. They do not complain about anything bad that is happening. They encourage people around them. They are silent without complaining about the trials. They do not tell anyone what they are going through. They know that only Jesus is the one who resolves. The soldiers of God do not do anything incomplete in the work. He wins the battles by trusting in Jesus. His greatest success is in Jesus. He is the secret of victory. Soldiers help others. When they promise to serve God, they do. Those who offend Him, they forgive. They are brave in war and are more valuable to God than many. They have the character of Jesus. They follow sound doctrine. A true soldier conquers the heavens and is already more than victorious. They do not surrender easily, saying that it is over. They never stop evangelizing while they are alive. As long as there is breath in their nostrils, he defends the gospel of truth. They die struggling to keep sound doctrine and strive for the cause of the gospel. True soldiers do not cower, fearing to tell the truth. He devotes his love to the work. They infect the people who are on their side, overcome their crises, go against the hand of a polluted world and against the flood of sin. The soldier of Jesus grows in grace without having to diminish anyone. The word is the beginning and the end of his life. He is used in speaking of God. He knows how to thank Jesus and those who help him. He knows how to forgive, respect his own body, not using sinful instruments. Jesus' soldiers care for the needy and unfortunate. He has the eagle's vision, the ant's enthusiasm for the work, and the lightness of temper. The soldier lives a life intensely with God, does not fall in moments of pain, and never loses the hope that is based on Jesus. He is disciplined in the word. He controls negative impulses. He has high control over himself. He does not let the flesh overcome him. He does not fear death and neither insults nor persecutes others. The soldier of God is loyal to Jesus. He is careful and helpful with the work. The soldier of Jesus makes his life part of God's plans and lives in the fullness of his power. Even with malicious treatment, he reacts with meekness and lets the Holy Spirit take over the leadership of his body and his life, calming his inner rage. He loves his life that God has given him, and he does not complain about it. He knows his limitations and his weaknesses. He gives himself to Jesus to take care of his weaknesses. He is obedient and he walks in God's way. He has a great spiritual health. He uses his life to worship God because he is the only one good thing he has to use on the job. He accepts correction, truth, and discipline. He does not weep the past that is gone. He lives today, lives in Jesus. His serenity reveals his great heart. Church, do not go to war discouraged, because faith will not endure and strength will not be total because of discouragement. Before entering the war, he has already lost. Having no faith, seek courage in Jesus and strength in his word. Know your weaknesses and be humble, ask the Holy Spirit to close your weaknesses. That's all you need to enter into spiritual warfare. False prophets. The Lord showed me in a vision multiplication of false prophets. I saw Satan forming an army of false teachers. The demons used the pastor to give counterfeit seminars to a group of Christians, forming new heretics and teaching a false gospel. I saw legions of demons using these believers to sow sects and the gospel of deceit. The word of God was being distorted. In this gospel comes a mixture of truths with lies. The pure and holy word was tainted with infernal heresies. Believers were losing identification with Jesus and opening churches to teach these heresies. The lie viruses they received were passed on to others. This was the false theology being infiltrated into many seminaries. Last experience. This is my last experience with Jesus this March 2016. I want to say to all who hear my past experiences. I'm going to leave, but I believe that the Lord will raise up men of God for His purposes of the end times. He raised up judges and more judges. He raised Elisha in the place of Elijah, and He was raising prophets to replace other prophets who had died. I believe that the Lord will raise up a group of Christians because His work cannot stop. His doctrine cannot end at my grave. I started a business at the beginning of my ministry to help my mission. I did not want to overload the church. The business is in the United States, and the person who takes care of my business sends money to my mission. Life is thus: man is born and dies, and all he has conquered is on earth, material goods, and his ministry. He carries nothing, only the works of the earth. Revelation 14:13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. I'm very worried about the church that I'm going to leave. Have they actually walked without me? I did not want to leave so as not to see my flock get lost, but my days are ending and the Lord do not allow me to stay on the earth. I am like a ripe fruit that will be harvested. I am going to express my joy at having done God's will and for this being the last mission and last rapture. I will no longer travel to other countries. I will stay in the country where I adapted to live, New Zealand, while Leslie and Henry are in the United States, where I left the headquarters of my ministry with Pastor Abraham, the vice president. Leslie and Henry are going to help the pastor and help continue the work I left. I'm 71 years old and I'm going to die this year. The Lord has given me physical strength for His mission. I will make the closing prayer. Pray with me. All rejoice in Jesus, O church, for He has saved you and redeemed you. Adore the Creator of your life. Applaud Jesus, for all honor and glory belong to Him. Blessed is the Lamb that taketh away the sin of the world, and blesseth Him with the whole heart. Sing and exhort Christ who has delivered us from condemnation. Call unto the Lord, for He is our refuge, O church. Celebrate with jubilation to the Lord all the brothers, exalt with all our souls. He is the morning star who guides His people in the darkness of this world. Jesus is the flower that is born in the infertile lands and the seed that germinates in the dry valley. It floats on the waters and calms the storm. He is the rock that pours water in the desert and quenches our thirst. He is the Prince of Heaven who has won all the battles, and the Prince of Peace who enters the battle to fight. Jesus is our fortress, protector of our life. The chariots of God are myriads, thousands upon thousands. Great upon the earth He is. Glorified is the Lord of armies who created the earth for us to live. Glorify Him because He is present in our midst. Cry to the Lord with all our soul and He will come to touch the depths of our being. Seek Him with all our hearts and He will fill our interior with peace, joy, and happiness. He is essential in the lives of the church. May the grace of the Lord superabound in your lives. Amen.